Well, I'm going to get right into the word today. We'll save the announcements and the offering. You know, we do that towards the end of the service. But if you're here today, if you're jumping in and you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, we've been in the middle of a series called The Power of Praise. The Power of Praise. And so we've been talking about some aspects of praise 2 weeks ago. And in part one, we talked about what is praise. What is praise? We found it's not just singing, okay? And we'll talk about more of that this morning, but it's not just singing. There are people, even church, you know, you can sing and not be praising. Did you know that? Hello. Just because you're singing, just because you're going through the motions, doesn't mean you're worshiping. It doesn't mean you're praising. Amen. You know, you can pray without praying. Huh? I mean, maybe you're reading the prayer or whatever. There's prayer books. There's different, you know, resources that will help you pray, help you learn how to pray. But you know, you can go and read a prayer, and your heart's not connected to it, and your mind's wandering and doing something else. You can pray a prayer and not even be praying. But you're reading the prayer, amen? So we talked about what praise is, and we talked about how, you know, it comes from the heart. It's not something up here in the head. It's something that comes from the heart. We talked about what praise is. Last week, part two, we talked about when are we to praise God? When are we to praise God? We found out what we're supposed to praise him in the good times. We're supposed to praise him in the bad times. And we're supposed to praise him in all the in-between times. Amen. So basically at all times, the psalmist said, his praise will continually be in my mouth. Amen. And we can praise him in public and we can praise him in private, both. Amen. It's not just, praise isn't just for church on Sunday morning, and then you never praise for the other 6.5 days of the week. No. And it's not just something you do at home and we don't do publicly. We do it both. We do it when we come together, and we do it when we're at home and wherever we're at. And when you understand the power of praise, then you'll understand why we do that. Amen. It's not just singing. It's not, you know, but it's an act of worship, and it comes from our heart. So today, part three, I want to talk to you about how are we to praise God? How are we to praise God? How do we actually do it? You know, what are the different ways that we can praise God? And, you know, our big takeaway today is that we're going to focus on today is this. How we praise depends on how well we know the one we praise. How we praise depends on how well we know the one we praise. You know, the more we come to know him, who he really is, how great his love is, and how and what he's done for us, and we come to understand him more and more and come to know him. And that's part of our mission here. That's part of our vision, to help you know God. Not just know about God, not just know about the religious God. You know, a lot of people have ideas about God that aren't true. A lot of people have ideas about Jesus and religious ideas about Jesus, but they're not true. They're not scriptural. So part of our mission is to help you come to know who God really is, come help you know the real Jesus. Amen? Because we know that once you get to know the real God, the Father, the real Jesus, oh, man, you'll fall in love with him like never before, and it'll just transform your life. Amen? And so how well we know him, will determine how we praise him. How we praise him depends on how well we know the one we praise. You know, praising God has many forms. There are many different ways, and we're going to talk about them here briefly this morning, okay? But many different forms, but one common denominator with praises, many forms, is that they are all actions. Praise is an action. It's something that's active. They require us to do something. The many methods or ways of praising God that we find in the scriptures all require us to do something. None of them require us just to sit completely still and completely, you know, and pretend like you're a mannequin. And that's not to judge, and let me say this getting started. As we talk about these different ways to praise, this isn't a condemnation or a criticism of anyone. At this church, we believe this. We believe that everybody is at a different place in their walk with God, and wherever you're at, whether you've been walking with God for decades or whether you're just getting started and just barely got your foot in the door, it doesn't matter. We respect where you're at. We respect where your walk with God is, and we don't pressure people, and we don't force people, and we don't judge people and criticize people because maybe they haven't, you know, come grown as far in their relationship with God as we have. There's none of that going on around here. Amen. And so wherever you're at, we respect that. But I want to show you what's available to you. We want to show you what is in store for you, what God says about the subject of praise, so that you will, as you grow in your relationship with Him, you will grow in your praise. Amen. And so that's really all this is about. But praise has to be declared or manifested in some way. Otherwise, it's not praise. It's not praise if there's no declaration. It's not praise if there's no manifestation. You know, some Christians prefer just to sit back and soak in God's presence instead of being active participants. But that is not the true behavior of praise. The true behavior of praise is not passive, it's not inactive, okay? True Bible praise does something, and it does something to us. And the first thing that it does is it stretches us out of our comfort zone. It stretches us out of our comfort zone. I remember the first time I raised my hands in church, I did it with fear and trembling, you know? Of course, I was in a church where they didn't do that. So you think it's a big deal lifting your hands for the first time in a church like this where we lift our hands all the time? Imagine doing it in a church where they never lift their hands. I think I told you the story before. I actually got reprimanded after church. The deacon surrounded me and my best friend after church and said, you can't do that in this church. We said, what? And he said, you can't lift both hands in church. We didn't just do this. We did this. Heresy. Of all the things a 15-year-old kid could be doing, of all the things you could be messing around with and involved in, that was our sin. We raised two hands in church on a Sunday morning during the Psalms, during the singing of the hymns. And so we got reprimanded for that. Well, short story, I left the church. If I can't lift two hands, and I wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost yet, man. I didn't even know. I was still very young in the Lord, even though I was raised in church. That was enough for me to go find another church. It stretches us out of our comfort zone, though. And the more, because you'll see, some of you see other people praising, other people doing stuff, saying, oh, man, that's a little standoffish, and wait till you see something really crazy, you know. And that's fine if that's where you're at. That's fine, okay. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. But you know, just like being a sports fan, you can't cheer on your team without moving around and making some noise. I mean, if you're really a fan, you're not just going to sit there like this when your team scores a winning touchdown, huh? I mean, I remember a couple years ago. How many remember the Super Bowl a couple years ago? New England Patriots, right? They are behind, and they're farther behind than anyone had ever been at that point of the Super Bowl. And it looked like it was over. I mean, it was so over, my wife went to bed, which isn't saying much because she'll give up on a game if it looks like it's over, or she'll walk away from a game if it's too tight and it's too tense and it's too stressful. It's 2 minutes to go and someone's trying to, you know, get a scoring drive together to get that winning go-ahead touchdown to win the game. She'll leave. She doesn't like the stress. She doesn't like the tension. Okay, so at whatever point in the game it was, she'd already said, okay, this is over. Patriots lose. I'm going to bed. So she's going to bed. So I stay downstairs. I'm watching this game. And, of course, you know the story, right? One thing after another. One touchdown after another, man. And pretty soon, hope's starting to rise up again, you know. And I'm starting to see, wow, this thing's got a chance. And by the time we got to where we took the lead, man, I'm telling you, I was exploding in my house. And my wife's still in bed. But do you think I was quiet? I was trying to be, but I couldn't be. You know, it's like I know she's in bed. I don't want to wake her up, but man, woo! You know, I'm shouting and I'm, you know, pumping my fist and I'm just doing my little dance in my own living room because there's no one around to watch me and no one around to judge me, and I'm just having a good old time. you ever have a moment like that with God? We'll talk about that, all right? But that's what praise is like. When you understand praise, the more you understand the one that you are praising, the more you get to know Him. You can't stay silent about it. You're going to have those moments in praise where his goodness is just so overwhelming and just touches you in such an amazing way that you just can't keep quiet about it. You've got to express it. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that, you know. My point is, you can't praise God quietly. If you know him, you can't do this calmly and quietly. Yes, there are times to be quiet. There are quiet times. But praise can't stay quiet. I'm thankful for quiet times. I love quiet times too. And I love quiet times even in a service where sometimes we get to the end of worship and instead of it being loud and boisterous and you know, shouting, but it's like a quiet, you know, a hush kind of comes over the congregation, and we're all and it's like the presence of God enters in, and we reverence him in such a way that, you know, it's just a special time to be quiet before God. And those times are special too. I'm not belittling those times at all. Okay, those times are important. Those times are special. They're priceless. But that's not what I'm talking about with praise, okay? Praise is different. Praise is different. Praise doesn't stay quiet. Praise is extroverted, okay? Praise, like I said, has to be declared or manifested in some way. Otherwise, it's not praise. Just like your faith needs a voice, all right? Faith needs a voice. If you're believing God for something, if you're standing on the promises of God, your faith needs a voice. Your praise needs movement. Your praise needs some action. Amen. Your praise cannot just remain still. Your faith and your praise need to get out of your mind. If you're believing God, good. Declare what you're believing. Get your faith out of your head and get it coming out of your mouth, right? If you have praise towards God in your head, that's great. Get it out of your head and get it out of your mouth and get it out of your hands and get it out of your feet. Amen. And get it out in the open. Demonstrate the praise. Manifest the praise. Don't let it just stay inside of you. You know, you say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a shy person. I'm an introverted person. I get it. You don't understand this about me. I am that too. And I know people have looked at me up here and they say, you're shy, you're introverted. Are you kidding me, man? I'm the kid that sits in the corner and doesn't talk to anybody at a party. Now, I've had to overcome that because God called me to do this. So I don't sit in the corner at a church fellowship. I don't sit in a corner and just mind my own business and do my own thing and ignore everybody. That's how I used to be when I was young. But now I gotta get out and I gotta mingle and I gotta mix and, you know. But if I'm doing what I want to do, I'm minding my own business somewhere. What I'm saying is, don't use your personality as an excuse not to worship God. Well, that's just not who I am. Well, maybe who you are needs to be tweaked a little bit. Amen. I'm not saying you need to change from an introvert into an extrovert. I'm not saying that. But if you're going to use your introversion as an excuse to never praise God and never sing and never, you know. Now, don't, like I said earlier, we'll let you grow at your own pace. There's no pressure on you to do anything that you're not comfortable doing. You understand? But, I mean, if you've been a believer for 30 years and you've never once opened your mouth and you've never once lifted your hand, then you're not growing much. We'll talk about that in a little bit, okay? So we want to help you grow, all right? Psalm 66, verse 8 says, praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. There again, praise is something. It shouldn't just stay in your mouth. I mean, or in your head. It needs to be in your mouth. It needs to come out. Amen. There needs to be a demonstration. I believe this verse is not only a reference to singing, but to many different types of praise that we're going to look at here in just a moment. But we have to be careful not to exclude certain types of praise because they may be outside of our comfort zone. It may be outside of your comfort zone, but I'm telling you, God is always stretching you to come outside of your comfort zone. If you stay inside of your comfort zone for the rest of your life, you will not experience anything great with God. You will not do anything great with your life. You know, I don't know, you may have seen this. I think I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen it in different places or whatever. But, you know, it's just a black field, you know, and there's a circle, and inside the circle it says comfort zone. And then outside the circle, it says, where the magic happens. You ever seen something like that? What's it saying? It's saying if you're going to stay inside your comfort zone, you're going to stay inside your circle, inside your comfort zone, nothing special is ever going to happen to you. You're going to have to get outside of your comfort zone, right? You're going to have to do something that maybe you're not comfortable doing. Maybe it's, you know, getting some more education. Maybe it's, you know, taking a risk, taking a chance, and doing something different. Maybe it's making a job change. Maybe it's, you know, it's doing something, you know. I know there's things that God has, I had to come out of my comfort zone to step into ministry. I mean, when I had speech class in high school, man, I was not good. You would have not have picked this guy out of speech class. You would have not have picked me out and said, that guy's going to be a preacher someday. That guy's going to be a public speaker someday. You say, man, that guy, he's an introvert. Right? So I had to embrace the call of God and step outside of my comfort zone. And even today, after all these years of ministry, God is still telling me, in this church and with this vision going forward and what God is telling us to do, he's already made it clear. You have to get outside of your comfort zone again. He told me before we ever came back to New England, when he told us a few years ago, you're going back to New England. I'm sending you back to New England. Your mission is not through there. He said, you're going to do things you've never done. You're going to say things you've never said. What's all that? That's out. Get out of your comfort zone. You're going to do things you've never done, say things you've never said. But then what was the third thing he said? And you're going to see things you've never seen. But to see things you've never seen, you're going to have to do something you've never done. You're going to have to get outside your comfort zone. And so praise is a great example of this. God wants to help us come out of our comfort zone. Amen? Instead of saying, you know, well, that's not my personality, we should find out why we're uncomfortable with what it is God is leading us into, and then make adjustments that challenge our comfort zone. Don't let your comfort zone tell you what to do, because your comfort zone will keep you from God's highest and best. Now, praise, back to praise. Praise, it requires effort on our part. Like I said, no one can praise God for you. We all have a need to praise, and there are benefits that we receive from praising, but I can't do your praising for you, and you can't do your praising for me. Amen. We all have to grow in our own praise, all right? I know it's hard to do when things are going bad. What we talked about earlier, what we prayed about earlier, about people in this church are going through some tests and going through some trials and going through some tough times. I get that. And you might say, Pastor, the last thing on my mind right now is praise. The last thing right now I want to talk about is praise. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I'm in a tough situation. My back's against the wall. I feel like, in the natural, I feel like my situation is hopeless. I understand that, and I appreciate that. But you know what? That is, like I've been saying the last couple weeks, that is when you need to praise God the most. Not for what is going on in your life that's not going well, not for the trouble, not for the problems, but praise him for who he is in the midst of your trouble, and he will bring you out of your trouble. He'll bring you through your trouble. He'll heal you. He'll restore you. Amen. He'll be with you through the whole thing. Amen. But you're going to have to bring yourself to it. When things are falling apart, it's important in those times, more than any, to praise the one who can turn things around, who can bring restoration. Okay, so praise then isn't based on how we feel. It's not based on our comfort zone. Okay, by an act of your own will. Listen to this. By an act of your own will, you need to praise God. That's not because I'm telling you to praise God. I'm going to exhort you to praise. That's what Connie and I do up here. We encourage you to praise. We exhort you to praise, but we can't make you praise, right? We can encourage you to, but if you're going to do this, well, then that's what you're going to do. We can't do. But so by an act of your own will, you need to praise God, because your need to be a praiser is more critical than your level of comfort. In other words, what God wants to do in you is more important than you remaining comfortable. God wants to get involved in your life. He wants to bring his presence and his power into your circumstances. And praise is what does that. See, we're not just talking about singing. We're not just talking about, you know, hey, we sang a couple nice songs. Wasn't that great? No, no, no. We're talking about God said he inhabits the praises of his people. That, what does that mean? Does that mean God himself just comes out of heaven and sits here in the midst? Well, not in a physical way, but the Bible talks about how his presence comes in. His presence comes in, and when his presence shows up, his power is here. And when his power is here, it can transform your life. It can heal you. It can mend you. It can give you wisdom. It can give you direction. It can give you breakthrough in whatever area of your life you're in need of breakthrough. Okay, when you understand the power of praise, you discover that your need to do it far outweighs your need to protect your comfort zone. I need to praise God. Sometimes you want to praise God, you know, just as he's so good and you're so blessed. And sometimes you just need to praise him. You need to praise him. Why? Because you need his presence and you need his power on the scene in your circumstance. You need him to do what you're not able to do yourself, right? And he wants to do that. He wants to be there for you, okay? But he does it by invitation. God doesn't, you know, God doesn't just, some people think, well, God sees what I need. God knows what I need. Why doesn't he just do it? Because he has no permission to do it. Because God gave you the gift of free will. So he's not going to override your free will to come and intervene in your circumstance. So if you want God to intervene in your circumstance, you're going to have to invite him. And, you know, you need to understand it's on his terms. You can't be doing your own, you know, this is a whole other subject, but just put this pin here, all right? You can't be going off and doing your own will, rejecting God, ignoring God, you know, no interest in God, and you're not interested in following him and serving him, and all of a sudden things go bad, and all of a sudden, God, where are you? That's not how he rolls. You don't get to ignore God your entire life and then expect him to show up for you when you call for him, when you need him. Okay. Now, if you want to repent and surrender your life to him, then absolutely, he's there for you. But if he's just going to be, you know, he's just going to be an emergency switch for you. You know, I had a family member, an in-law one time, that's how his life was, man. I mean, when things are going good, he wasn't interested in God. When things were going bad, man, he was at the house and he's asking for prayer. He's in need of this, in need of that, and he's, you know, crying out to God, God help me, God help me, God help me. And then God helps him and turns the situation around, and then God's on the shelf again. Come on, it's playing games with God. All right? So you got to make up your mind. Do you want God in your life or you want him out of your life? If you want him out of your life, then don't expect him to show up every time you need something. But if you want him in your life and you give your life to him, then he will be there for you every step of the way. Amen? He'll be there every step of the way. Glory to God. So now, every form of praise found in Scripture that we're going to look at here in just a second is for us. Some congregations and some people have deleted some forms of praise as not their style. You know, oh, we don't do that here. And that's fine for them, but that's not God's intent. So let's understand that today, okay? So listen, we're just going to go through a few types of praise, okay? And just comment on them. Some of them will be familiar to you. Some of you might say, oh, I didn't know that was a form of praise. We're going to talk about it, okay, for just briefly, okay? But the first one, the most obvious one, we just did it this morning, singing. Singing, it's a form of praise, okay, when we sing to God. And again, like we said earlier, praise is from the heart, right? So it's not just singing, but it's singing songs of praise to God from our heart. It's a type of praise, okay? Psalm 92, verse 1 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. Psalm 147, 1 says, praise the Lord, how good to sing praises to our God, how delightful and how fitting. Okay? And then Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that breathes. We got any breathers here today? I hope so. Hey, thank you for the three people that raised their hand. I love you. All right? Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he's talking to all of us, man. He's not just talking to me, not just talking to a couple of us here. He's talking to all of us. Let everything that has the breeze sing praises to the Lord. You know, spontaneous singing often occurred in the Scriptures, and it often occurred after great victories. You know, there's several times where this happened, but just a couple that come to mind. You know, when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, you remember the story, and Hollywood even made a movie about it, right? The Ten Commandments, and God delivers them, and then after He delivered them, the Egyptian army is pursuing them, and they get down to the Red Sea, and their backs are against the wall, and then God made a way for them to cross the Red Sea. They get across the Red Sea, and then the Egyptians are following them. Egyptians did in the Red Sea, you know, and it's interesting. It's, you know, even our archaeological finds have proven that event actually happened. And it's amazing. Some people trying to discredit the Bible said, oh, but you know, the Red Sea, it wasn't, the crossing of the Red Sea wasn't a big deal. You know, God really didn't have to move any water, or there wasn't much water. You know, some people say, well, you know, the water was only 6 inches deep, you know, where they crossed the Red Sea, so it really wasn't that big of a deal. Well, but see, then you're missing the other part of the story, okay? Because it's not just that they crossed. The Bible says they actually crossed on dry land. God parted the water and made the land dry. Amen. And they crossed. But once they got to the other side, the Egyptians came through the same path across the Red Sea. And when they got in the middle of the Red Sea, the water collapsed on them and they all drowned. So it's a miracle either way. Either God parted the deep Red Sea so that they could get through, or God parted a very shallow Red Sea, or even if you wanted to believe, He didn't part the sea at all, which I don't believe, but even if you wanted to believe that, then God managed to drown the entire Egyptian army in 6 inches of water. What does that say about the army? You guys are done in by 6 inches of water, huh? So, you know, either way you look at it, it was a miracle. But when they get to the other side, what is it? They started singing. Praise erupted among the children of Israel. There's over a million of them, and they all start singing praises to God. They start singing about the horse and rider thrown into the sea. And if you came up through the charismatic revival and were your church back in the 70s and the early 80s, you probably sang that song. Huh? I'm dating myself a little bit. But so that's one example. Another example is after David killed Goliath, you know, and after that whole story came to an end, and David, you know, killed him with the sling and the stone, and then cut his head off, and then they broke into song there as well, and they praised God for his marvelous works. And so those are just a couple of examples of how, you know, people will break into even spontaneous song. What we do here isn't spontaneous. We've got songs that we plan, that we practice, and we sing, and we know. But there's times where you just break into song because God has done something so marvelous, so magnificent, that you just have to declare His praises. Amen. The next one I want to look at is shouting. Shouting. You can shout in church. Amen. You can shout in church. And I know this is one that makes some people nervous, depending on what kind of church you were raised in. If I would have shouted in the church I grew up in, I would have got thrown out quicker than I got thrown out, you know, raising two hands in worship, because there was no shouting allowed. But there is a shout that is a godly shout. There's a shout that is a shout of praise. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks more about shouting than it talks about being quiet. The Bible says one time, be still and know that I am God. But multiple times the Bible talks about shouts of praise, shouts of joy, shouting to God. Amen. Not shouting at God, shouting to God. Amen. Some people are shouting at God, and that's a whole other story. But Psalm 95 verse 1 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Now, it's funny. You see this happen in sporting events all the time. Huh? But someone does it in church and people start freaking out, and oh man, that church is weird. They're shouting over there. Over there at Raining Love Church, there people shout over there. Yeah, you shouted at the Patriots game? You can't shout to the God who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created everything that is? You can't shout to Him? You can't shout for joy to God Almighty? Oh, Psalm 100 verse 1 says, shout for joy to the earth, all the earth. So the Bible commands us to shout. Amen. A shout, if it's a shout unto the Lord, it's a joyful shout, a praise shout. It is an act of praise. Amen. Now some of these overlap and kind of overlap each other. But the next one is make a joyful noise. Well, if you make a joyful noise, what do you mean? So it can be heard. That's what a noise is, something you can hear, right? You're in the middle of the night, you hear that noise. What's that noise? You don't hear something that's, you know, it's not a noise if you don't hear it. So he says, make a joyful noise. Psalm 98 verse 4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. See, not just a joyful noise, but a loud noise too. And rejoice and sing praise. So a joyful noise. Now, singing could also be called the joyful noise, but sometimes the joyful noise is not singing. Sometimes the joyful noise, it might be the person sitting next to you this morning that maybe they can't sing, but they were making a joyful noise while we were singing. And that's okay. Amen. I mentioned it last week. It's okay if someone next to you is worshiping God and they're trying to sing and they can't sing. You don't need to look over at them and say, hey, knock it off. Now, if they're a big distraction to you, just don't sit next to them next Sunday. But, we'll find out who all the joyful noise people are. They'll all be on one side of the room. All the singers will be on the other side. No, I mean, you understand that it's something beautiful. And someone's worshiping God, it's beautiful whether they're in tune or not. Because you can tell, it's not beautiful when they're at an American Idol audition and their family members didn't love them enough to tell them that they can't sing. If you've ever seen that. But in church, we don't care whether you can sing or not. If you're worshiping God with us, if you're praising God, hey, you got scripture for your noise, man. Say, I got a verse. Leave me alone. I'm praising God. Amen. You got a problem with it? Talk to my God. He told me I could make a joyful noise, and that's what I'm doing. Amen. And so if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. Some Sundays I'm leading worship. Some Sundays I'm making a joyful noise. You should have heard me starting practice this morning with Warren, man, when I started going through the first three songs. I kept changing songs. Nope, can't do that one today. Nope, can't do that one today. Why? Because they were nothing but joyful noises. Don't have my sidekick singing with me today, and my voice wasn't up to 100%, so I had to search to try to find a song I could sing this morning. All right? Otherwise, it would have been nothing but a joyful noise, and some of you might think it was a joyful noise anyways, but at least it was joyful. Amen. the Hebrew word, the joyful noise, the Hebrew, it literally means to address in a loud tone with freedom and triumph. Amen. God is not a nervous God. Religion has made God out to be some kind of nervous God. You gotta be quiet. Somehow, church services and some churches have got equated with funeral homes and visiting hours. They're not the same, okay? You're not in a funeral home. You're not in a library. You're in a church, and it's okay to make some noise. Amen. It's okay to make some noise. I don't have a problem at all with you making some noise as we're worshiping God. It's a little difficult when you're making noise when I'm trying to talk. Okay? Because then I get confused. But when we're singing, you go for it, man. So what's another one? Laughter. Laughter is another form of praise. Job 8:21 says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter. This isn't just talking about laughing on your own, although there are times where, you just think about the goodness of God. You think about what God did. Maybe he came through. Maybe you were believing God for something, and he came through for you, and you're laughing, man. Whew! Do you see what God did then? And you're laughing. But there are times where he actually fills your mouth with laughter. It's a holy laughter, amen? He fills your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. There you got laughing and shouting at the same time going on. You got church going on then, all right? Laughing and shouting. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Well, what do we sing for? We sing because we want his presence. We worship because we want his presence. The Bible, I said it earlier, he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we worship him, we want his presence to come in to our midst and to touch us and to minister to us and to help us, okay? Well, when his presence shows up, in his presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. So when you get God on the scene, don't be surprised. You got some joy inside of you. Amen. Even in the midst of your bad circumstances, you can have joy if you've got God's presence. And sometimes it's his presence is the only thing in your life to give you joy when you're going through a rough time. Amen. That's why we need his presence. Amen. Psalm 126, 1 and 2 says, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. So here you have them, they're rejoicing at what God has done, and they were filled with laughter and sang for joy, and it was and it even got someone else's attention. Huh? It even got someone else's attention. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. That's cool when other people are recognizing what God has done for you. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. So laughing. The next one is what we're getting ready to celebrate this week, right? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It's an act of praise. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You know, you ought to practice giving thanks. We all ought to practice giving thanks to God. I've noticed some things, in this world that we're living in today. A lot of people aren't grateful. There's no thanksgiving in them. There's no gratefulness in them. Don't let that be you. There's always something to be grateful for. Be grateful, God. You know, you woke up this morning, man. Huh? You didn't die in your sleep. That's something to be thankful for. that you have breath, you have life, you have, and even if things are going bad, you have life and you have there's an opportunity for God to intervene and to turn things around for you. Think about the things that you are blessed with. Think about the things that you do have that they're a blessing, whether it be, your health or your family or your provision or, the goodness of God, whatever it is, his mercy and his grace and your relationship with God and your church family. I mean, there's so many things that you could go on and on about and give thanks for. So make sure you're giving thanks to God. You know, people always ask why bad things happen to them, but they never asked why good things happen to them. But we talked about it a little bit last week, didn't we, that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He blesses both the good and the evil, right? Just the fact that you're alive, that you have the breath of God inside of you is something to be thankful for. Amen. So every good and perfect gift, we looked at it last week, comes down from the Father. Whatever good is happening in your life, give God thanks for it. He's the author of it. He's the one that initiated it. He's the one that made it, gave you even the potential to have anything good happening in your life. So be sure and give him thanks. Amen. And not just Thanksgiving coming up. Be sure and give him thanks then. But, something we practice all the time. Lori and I were both raised in homes that did this. We always give thanks for our food. We always pray over our meals. We always bless our food. We always give thanks for it. We thank God for his provision. We thank God for his promise to bless. He said, I'll bless your bread and water. And he said, I'll take sickness from your midst. So when we pray, we give thanks for what he's provided, and we lay hold of that promise. Thank you, Father, for blessing our food, and thank you for delivering us from sickness and disease. Amen. And we speak health and wholeness over ourselves, over our family. Amen. It's something we do every time. Practice giving thanks, all right? Here's another one you don't see very often in church nowadays. In some churches you will. Some churches it's a very big deal. In this church you won't see it very often, but every now and then you might look over and you'll see someone doing this, and that's kneeling. Kneeling is something I do more at home than I do anywhere else, because half the time I'm up here on the platform anyway. It's not saying you can't kneel on the platform. I've seen that happen before. I've seen worship team members drop to their knees. Okay, but kneeling is an act of praise. Not kneeling because some people, some religious ideas are that you've got to kneel for if you're going to pray, you need to kneel. Well, that's kind of the church I was raised in. If you're going to pray, you got to kneel and you got to fold your hands. Anyone else raised like that? But I found out, God hears you when you're not kneeling and when you're not folding your hands. God hears you when you're praying while you're driving. God hears you while you're praying when you're in the shower. God hears you when you're praying, wherever you're praying, however you're praying, God hears you. Amen. If you're praying to him, and so you don't have to do that, but kneeling, it's an act of reverence. Actually, the word kneel, well, let me give you a couple scriptures first. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And then Ephesians 3:14, Paul, when he's praying for the Ephesians, the start of this prayer, he said, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." Okay, kneeling, or in the Hebrew, it's actually the word bow. Bowing is a form of humility and honor. You know, and you know, back in the day when we had kings instead of presidents, and some nations I know still do, but back in the day when the whole world had, you know, kings, you would come into the presence of the king, and what were you expected to do? You were expected to bow. And what are you doing that for? You're doing that to show respect. You're doing that as a form to show give them honor, respect their position, respect their power. You know, and if you had a bad king, you're doing it also to save your life. You don't bow before a bad king, but even a good king, it was a serious deal back then. You know, you better bow before even the good king, right? Because that he's worthy to be honored in that way. Well, if an earthly king is worthy to be honored, then our heavenly king is worthy to be honored. He is the king of all kings, the Bible says. Amen. And so there are times where it's appropriate to kneel before him. All right. And then what's another one? Hand clapping. You know, there again, that's one of those things that you never did in the church I grew up in. You know, I mean, because that's worse than putting both hands up. Right? So you don't put your hands together. You don't clap. But Psalm 47, verse 1 says, "Come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise." So hand clapping is an act of praise. Amen. Clapping is a show of appreciation and approval. And not only that, there's a natural value to clapping. There's a natural value on the bottom of your feet and on your palms of your hands and on your fingertips. That there's nerve endings that connect to every organ in your body. And the Chinese have understood this for many, many years, that that certain massages and certain essential oils, they can affect your body. They can actually affect the organs of your body. It can actually reduce inflammation in your body. There's something very, you know, so there's a biological, you know, and chemical reason to clap your hands and to stomp your feet and tap your foot. That's a benefit to you, actually. It's a natural benefit, so it's not only is it an act of praise, but God, of course, knew that it was going to have a benefit to your life as well. When we clap our hands, we're actually stirring up our life inside of us. We're actually stirring ourselves up, and you could give yourself an experiment sometime. You know, lift up a clap and start clapping God, and see what it does. It quickens your body. It makes you seem more alive. It has a natural benefit. It has a spiritual benefit. Okay, so don't be afraid of clapping your hands. You hear someone clap. You know, we had more than a couple people doing it this morning, clapping their hands while we're praising. That's perfectly appropriate to do that. I just hope you don't clap hands like my friend back in California, where we pastored back there. One of our ushers, he was also a drummer, and so he didn't just clap his hands, he had the fancy clap, right? So he'd be at the back of the auditorium, and we're trying to sing on days when he didn't play the drums. He's in the back, you know, ushering, and he's back there. And of course, you know, if he was with the music, it probably would have been perfect, because he was a good drummer. But the problem was, he's in the back of the auditorium. So by the time the sound got from the stage to the back, and then he clapped with it, and the sound got back to us, he's not anywhere near on the beat. So we're trying to lead worship, and this guy's in the back of the church clapping away, praising God, and we're having trouble finding the beat of the song because his clapping is so loud. So if you do that, well, we still love you, but we might say, clap a little softer if you're going to clap that way. You know, he's a great guy. I love him dearly. A wonderful man. But his clapping made worship a little challenging sometimes, all right? But clapping your hands, it is an act of worship, and it's something that's completely appropriate to do when we're praising God. Amen. Another one, dancing. Dancing. Now, I said dancing, but, you know, not all dancing is equal. All right, we don't need any twerking in church on Sunday. All right, that's not the kind of dancing I'm talking about. All right, and matter of fact, there are some churches, they have dance teams during worship. I'm not big into that. You say, why aren't you big into that? Because what I noticed about dancers, number one, they never give the plus-size girls any leotards. In most churches, It's always the cute little girls that got the leotards in. And you know what? You get a bunch of girls up here dancing in leotards, and how many guys do you think are worshiping? It's hard to worship when you got girls in leotards dancing in front of you. I'm just being honest. Come on, let's be real. Right? Now, I'm all for it. So I dance unto the Lord. I dance as an act of worship, but I do my dancing at home. You're welcome. I just knew you wanted to say thank you there, so I just said you're welcome because I knew you wanted, you know. And I'm not bad. For a big white dude, I'm not a bad dancer, but I ain't going to show you my moves. I don't even show my wife my moves. I dance when she's not home because she'll just, we won't even go there. But dancing is completely appropriate. You know, David danced. David danced under the Lord, and his wife said, "You're crazy, dude. That's why I don't dance in front of my wife. I don't need to hear my wife tell me I'm crazy. I don't need to have that experience David had," you know. But Psalm 149, verse 3 says, "Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp." So we can praise him with dancing. There's just sometimes, man, I'm worshiping God, and I'm just so full of joy, and I'm just praising him that sometimes my feet just start moving, man. Next thing you know, I'm moving, and the Holy Ghost comes on me, and then, you know, so it's just a wonderful thing, all right? So I'm not saying that dancing is never appropriate in church, but, there's a difference, like I said, between a dancing that's an act of worship and a choreographed dance, or a dance that becomes more of a demonstration. You know what I mean? Anytime your worship draws attention to you and not to God, I think it ceases to be worship. It becomes performance then, and that's not what our praise and worship is about. It's not about performance. It's not about performance. It's about worship. The attention's supposed to go to Him. See, when you start looking at me or start looking at whoever's, you know, doing whatever they're doing on the platform, whatever, and you start looking at them instead of praising God, then we've missed it. All right? I know churches, I know one church, a wonderful church, one of my favorite churches in America. It's a huge church, and they've got technology going. They've got these huge LED light screens, you know, on this huge stage, and they can put anything they want on that screen. They can put all the eye candy up they want, but that pastor, I respect him because he said, you know what, we're evaluating how much eye candy to put on the screen because you want the worship to be alive, and you want to, and using technology to help with that and to create a mood for worship is fine, it's wonderful, it's great. But if you put too much eye candy up, then the attention goes off of God and it goes on the eye candy. And that's not what we're here for. We're here to praise Him. We're here to worship Him. Amen? So, you know, there's a right and a wrong way to do that, all right? So what's the next one here? I'm almost done here, all right? So after dancing, uplifted hands. You see that a lot around here, but Psalm 63, verse 4 says, "I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." Amen. Lift up your hands. The Hebrew actually says, in the original language, it actually says to extend your hands to shoot like an arrow. To shoot like an arrow. So, so that's not this. It's not even this. It's whoo, you know. And some of you might not be there. I know some of you saw the Facebook videos floating around a couple years ago where they were talking about, you know, different forms of worship in churches and stuff. And so this comedian's doing the skit, and I'm not going to try to do it, you know, but I should have got the video. I should show it to you. But, you know, he starts off with, you know, all right, this for a first-time hand raiser, this is usually where it starts. Not really raising hands, but, you know, you got them away from the side, right? But then you do a little bolder, and it's like up here. And then, you know, you're a little more comfortable, and then it's up here. And then it's up here. You know, and so he talks about the progression of hand raising, you know, and how it depends on what church you came out of and how comfortable you are with it. And then, of course, the crazy ones are the ones that are throwing their hands up in the air, and they're waving, and they're, you know, all that stuff. And so wherever you're at, that's cool. That's fine, all right? We want you to go at your own pace. But I just want you to see it's scriptural. To lift up your hands is scriptural. Amen. It's a scriptural way to praise God. And matter of fact, it's a matter of obedience, not a matter of preference. He didn't say, you can lift up your hands if you want. He said, no, lift up your hands. It's actually a command. All these praises that we're looking at, they're actually commands, all right? What else? Speaking and singing in the Spirit. Acts 10:46 says, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. You say, do you believe in speaking in tongues here at this church? Absolutely, we do. And if you hang around here for a while, we'll explain it to you in a way that it's not creepy, it's not spooky, it's not weird, okay? But it is definitely scriptural, is definitely something that we do around here. And so here it says they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So it wasn't just something done privately, because someone else heard them speaking in tongues and heard them praising God. Paul the apostle said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 14:15, he said, so what shall I do? He said, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. In other words, he's saying, I'm gonna sing in tongues, and I'm gonna sing in you know, for us it would be English. He didn't speak English, but we would say, I'm gonna speak in tongues, I'm gonna speak in English. I'm gonna pray in tongues, I'm gonna pray in English. I'm gonna sing in tongues, I'm gonna sing in English. We're gonna do both, okay? And both of them are scriptural, both of them are appropriate. And then the last thing is making music on our instruments. All right, you see instruments up here? You see no one's playing them right now, right? That is, the vision is for that to change. The vision is for us to have a live band, amen? That's one of the things we're praying for, one of the things we're believing God for. Right now we've got musicians and they're all on soundtracks, all right? One day we'll have musicians here and we'll have a live praise and worship band. But it's scriptural. 2 Chronicles 5:13 says, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud. What is the cloud? That cloud is the presence of God. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would manifest himself as a cloud. You know, he manifested himself in different ways, but here in this time of worship, he manifested himself as a cloud. That cloud was the presence of God that had come into a place. There are people that have even seen a cloud, you know, in services that we've been in, a service where we've been worshiping God. Sometimes God allows people to see into the realm of the Spirit. Sometimes there's been a cloud, you know, throughout the congregation. It's a very scriptural thing. It just simply means the presence of God is here. It's nothing spooky. It's nothing weird, but it means the presence of God is here. And that's what we want. Because God can do more for you in 30 seconds than I can do for you in 30 years of preaching. Amen. We want his presence. Amen. We want his presence. And so here we see the instruments didn't scare away the presence of God. It didn't, God's not, you know, like I said, God's not nervous. Oh, they got cymbals going on there. I can't show up there. They got trumpets blaring. Yeah, God doesn't mind it at all. They had trumpets and cymbals and instruments. And what does God do? He shows up. Because it wasn't just trumpets and cymbals and instruments. It was praise. Amen. It was worship. And praise and worship brought the presence of God into their circumstance. Amen. So like I said at the very start, how we praise depends on how well we know the one we praise. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, all right? The characteristics of our praise, it depends on the depth of our relationship with him. Much like, you know, there are different marks to spiritual maturity. Generosity is a mark of spiritual maturity. When someone is maturing as a Christian, they become freer with their wallet. They become more generous with their finances, okay? It's just one of those marks of maturity. Walking in your purpose is another sign of maturity. When you stop coming to church and just saying, what's in it for me? What am I going to get today? What's God going to do for me? And you start thinking, what am I here for? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do with my life? God, what do you want me to do at church? How do you want me to serve? That's a sign of maturity. Okay, well, the way we praise God can be a mark of our maturity as well. Praise is a natural expression of your maturity and your growth in God. But like I said, we're not going to judge you for wherever you're at in your walk with God, wherever you're at in your spiritual maturity, we're not going to judge you for that. We just want to show you this is what the scriptures say. This is what the word of God says about praise. So when you see this happen, know that this is something you can step into. It's something when you're ready to take the next step, you can step into these things. These are something you can grow into as you mature in Christ, as you grow in your relationship with God, okay? But wherever you're at in your relationship with God, it is okay. But I wanted you to know the ways that we praise God and the ways that we praise God here in this church. And though it may challenge your comfort zone, these are all scriptural ways. You'll see that, oh, there's a scriptural reason behind this, okay? And that's the key. We don't praise to be seen of people. We don't praise to be heard by people. But we praise to be seen by God, to be heard by God, the one we worship. Amen? And like I said, the more you know him, the more we know him, the more praise and worship will become a natural part of our life. Amen? The more you know what he's done for you and recognize his goodness in your life, and the more you go through with the Lord and the more he brings you through, it just makes you love him more. It just makes you want to worship him more. Amen? And so you'll grow in your praise life. You'll grow in your worship life. And that's fine. Amen? That's normal. It's just like a little baby, the natural. They don't come out of the womb knowing how to do everything, knowing how to feed themselves, knowing how to walk and how to run and how to do all these different things. It's a growth process, and so it is spiritually with us. We grow into these areas, amen? So it's nothing to, don't feel intimidated when someone else is praising in a way that you're not praising. Don't think, you know, it doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. Doesn't mean any of that, okay? It just means that person is maybe a little bit farther down the road in their life of praise than you are, but that's okay. You can continue to grow, and hopefully you'll get more comfortable in your praise life as well and in your relationship with God, amen? Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, I think we just need to praise him for a moment. I think we just need to lift him up. I know we were doing it earlier, but we're closing the service. I'm going to pray here in just a moment. But I just think, let's take a moment and just lift our hands and praise to him. Let's worship him for a moment. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to stay seated, you stay seated. But, oh, Father, we bless you. We praise you today. We worship you in this place. Oh, we want you to know, Father God, that we love to praise you. We love to be in your presence. We love to worship you. We love to tell you how much we love you. We love to give you thanks and to give you praise for all that you've done, for all that you promised yet to do, Lord. We worship you in this place. We lift up our hands. We lift up our voices. Hallelujah. Oh, we rejoice in you. We lift up a shout. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, enter in with me, church. Yes, wherever you're comfortable. Oh, glory to God. We worship you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify you in this place. Oh, hallelujah. And above every circumstance, above every situation, we declare you are Lord. We declare, oh, that you're worthy, worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your wonderful name.